The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Hi, I'm Gordon. Thanks so much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me and producer Vin. This week's been a busy one. Norman Cook, Sean Walsh, James Blunt, plus our regular classic album chat this week with Jamie T. I really hope you enjoy it.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. You might have noticed that David Beckham was on Desert Island Discs at the weekend. It was the 75th anniversary, and he was chosen to be the castaway for that special edition. Now, weirdly, there was quite a lot of controversy about him being chosen, which I don't understand. You know, people saying it should have been a Nobel laureate or some really prominent physician or scientist. But not at all. Beckham is a cultural icon, and that's a big thing for a Scotsman to say that England captain should be on the show. And I can tell you, I think he's a lovely man, right? And he's often overlooked. You might expect him to have the cliched professional footballer's music taste, but he proved that wrong. He had some great choices on there. The Rolling Stones' Wild Horses, Elton John was on there, he's good friends with, and Ella Fitzgerald, a bit of Michael Jackson and Sir Paul McCartney. So he's choices were really good. He also had the Stone Roses on there, which I'll talk about in a second. But I'm going to tell one David Beckham story, because if you weren't convinced by him, here's a really good reason for you to think he's a great, great man. Back in about 2006, I think it was, I got invited over to spend some time with him and his missus when they were leaving Real Madrid to go to LA. I think there was a suspicion that the papers might turn on them slightly. And we went out, me and my missus, and we had one of the best weekends I think I've ever had. And he looked after us like royalty. So my missus spent a lot of the time talking to Posh. I spent a lot of time talking to him. And one thing I'd say is Spanish was excellent for a start. And I remember saying to him, why don't you speak more Spanish? And he said, well, it's not word perfect. I'm worried I'll be slagged off for not being very good at it. But the story he told me that night, he said, I'll tell you a little, it was a dressing room story. And he got really close to the Brazilian players that were part of the Galacticos at the time. So Ronaldo, Roberto Carlos. And he said that he'd taken Brooklyn, his son, along to train him one day. And they were in the dressing room. And he was drying himself after his shower. Brooklyn was sitting next to him. And as they were getting ready and he was getting changed, Brooklyn was sort of fixated on this view from the other side of the dressing room. So David Beckham looked across and Roberto Carlos was standing naked as he came out of the shower. And Brooklyn just leaned across and tugged on his dad's shorts and said, Dad, Dad, why don't you have a thingy like that? And you just think, you know, he might be David Beckham. You know, he might have an incredible football pedigree, a wonderful history. But there's always somebody bigger and better out there.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, here on Radio X. And I'm very excited to say that Sean Walsh is joining us in the studio. Hello, Sean.
Hello, mate.
Two rounds of applause there.
I'll clap myself as well.
There we go.
Three.
Sean, it's been 5 years since you last came on the show.
Yes. You look well.
Thank you.
You look really good.
So do you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Listen, you've got your hair and yes. All your own teeth. What more do you need?
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Can you give me a little sort of rundown of the last 5 years? Because from the outside looking in, it's gone pretty bloody well.
No, that's been great. Okay, 5 years. Lots of touring.
Yep.
Written a new show every year. So it's five shows since I last saw you. What else have I done?
TV shows.
Of TV shows. And lots of stand-up on telly. Yeah. That's it. I've got a flat.
You bought a flat.
You know, got a flat in Shepherd's Bush.
The last time I saw you, you were about to sleep outside overnight to be the first person to go in and see the new Batman
Dark film, Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. And yes. You did a brilliant impression of Bane.
Can I still do that? It's good to be here on Radio X.
You're going on tour next week, I think, isn't it? February. So,
yes.
What's that? You know, listen, you've done 5 years worth of touring, right?
Yes.
What is the pre-gig ritual now? What are the nerves like? Because you're a veteran now. I think it's safe to say that. So, have
you're
you got
the
a
first person
you're
that's ever said that? Take that back.
No, you're a veteran.
Take that. No, I'm up and coming. I'm still up and coming.
Is it different now? Now you've got that experience under your belt? Because the last time you were still full of the joys of life and excited about the prospect of touring. Now it's like, I've got to pay for the flat.
Jaded. Tired.
Yeah.
Well, the audience has got bigger.
Yeah.
That's nice. When I first went on tour, you know, you were playing to sort of half-empty rooms, and that was... It makes you stronger, I think, you know, because you... It's not that your ego's dented, but basically, if you can play in front of 50 people, you're going to be able to play in front of hundreds of thousands, and that doesn't scare you.
Weirdly, is it a bit more intimidating playing to a smaller crowd?
Much more intimidating. Yeah. I think you'd get that answer from any comic.
Yeah. Has the quality of the heckling improved or decreased?
This is the thing. You don't get heckled at your own tour shows.
Why do you not?
No, because generally people already like you. They already know you and they come and they're happy. But then what happens is, because a few years ago I'd been on the road, been touring, just think, oh, you know, audiences are so friendly. Then went and did a club gig. Can't remember the heckle, unfortunately, yeah. But got heckled. And I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Heckled and, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm out of practice.
Yeah, just sorry. That was my put down. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to continue. The last tour, I played a video at the beginning that you can see on YouTube, if you YouTube me, which is a sort of parody of the X Factor. Yeah. Life story videos, and I would play that at the beginning about how difficult it was for me to get to where I am now. And then on this tour, I close with a song.
Ah,
yeah.
What kind of? How would you describe your musical style?
Oh, without swearing,
it's always the challenge.
It's it's more talking than singing.
All right, rapping.
You know. Yeah,
Scatman Sean.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Sean, can you give us a little flavour of what you're going to do on this tour?
Quite simply, I think it's about I'm turning 30, I think that's a big.
It is a big moment for
it's
you.
It's a big turn, isn't it? In someone's life, and it's about. Avocado,
yes.
Rye bread.
You're about to get fat. You can't do anything about it.
I've started running to try and avoid that. Is it not going to work?
No, it's not, because you're going to get injured. And you're going to spend a lot of time complaining about it to people.
This has happened to you. I think this happened to all of us. You get to your 30s, you walk down the street, feel the exact same, just like you did when you were in your 20s, and then you go, isn't autumn beautiful? Oh, God. Oh, no.
You taking any pictures of scenery yet?
Of what?
Of scenery.
Oh, just, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're definitely 30. People under 30 don't do that.
No. There's
your wardrobe might have to change as well, I'm afraid.
And just... And the memory... Memory doesn't work. But I don't mean like, I don't mean like I'm forgetting like an old man. If you... You know when you tell yourself you're going to do something in a minute?
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
No.
If you don't do that thing that you think you're going to do in a minute now... You're not going to do that thing.
No.
And you're going to remember the next day, I didn't do that thing. That's all it is.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You might have to get a sensible haircut.
I think... what are you saying? Am I getting heckled on the show? No. what do you think? Do you think I should get a haircut?
I think you should.
Like a new sort of...
Just do it as part of the routine.
For charity?
Yeah, do it. Get your haircut for charity and use it as part of your routine.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Now, we've talked to bands about Slash Gordon, which is a book I plan to write about the most famous people I've ever been to the toilet beside. And it's working quite well, this. We've had some great stories about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, Sumner from New Order, lots of footballers, very famous people. Now, Sean Walsh, you've been in the company of many a great comedian. But do you have a Slash Gordon for us? Who's the most famous person you found yourself beside at a urinal?
Well, the one... It's sort of cheating, this one, but it would be on... Ramesh Ranganathan used to be my support act.
Oh, yes. It's great,
isn't it? Yeah, and so I've urinated next to him many times in many services around the country. But the odd one... That is Gareth Barry, the...
Aston Villa. Where else? Everton.
City, Everton. Yeah. In a club in Manchester, and I did a. This is before I was in any of the public domain. I hadn't done any telly, so I didn't really. It didn't really occur to me how disrespectful this is. I took a picture of him
at the urinal.
No, behind him. So I finished before him, and then I went and stood against the sinks and took a picture of Gareth Barry having a wee. And I unfortunately, I don't have that anymore. But for years, I had a picture of Gareth Barry weeing. So Gareth, if you're listening, I'm really sorry about that. That is really inappropriate. I apologise.
You're now of a level of fame, Sean, as well, where you will find yourself in those awkward circumstances where people want to shake your hand at the urinal, they want to get a picture. Where's the weirdest place that you've been approached for an autograph or you've been recognised?
That's a good one. It's boring, but the toilets.
Yeah.
Like, wait for me to leave. Go outside and then pretend that maybe you haven't seen me in the toilets. Come up to me like after I've just come out of a cubicle.
Yeah.
Just, you know, landed one. And now you want a photo with me.
Have you ever been wrongly identified as well?
Mate.
Come on, who is it?
Me, a million times. I've got thousands.
Come on, give us your top five.
I actually don't get it so much anymore, but I used to get Josh Widdicombe a lot. And I think it's just because of nasally voice. That's all it is.
It's a good impression.
There you go, there's the impression. There you go. Oh, God, I've got my phone signal. Yeah, something like that. But... Justin Lee Collins. People would ask for selfies. I would do a selfie, and then they would go, "Cheers, Justin," and they weren't joking.
Yeah.
And the best one was doing a gig. doing a gig in Cardiff, Cardiff Glee, doing a work in progress. Really enjoying the show. The audience are enjoying the show. But there's this one guy who just looks furious. And I go, sorry, mate. Like, are you okay? What's wrong? And he went, I thought I bought tickets to see Sean Locke. And so, but no. Luckily, you know, I really get on with Sean. And I love his work. And yeah. I know his work. So I nicked Sean's about 5 minutes of Sean's show, and I did. I went, look, I know Sean's stuff, so I'll do that. And I did a big chunk of Sean's show, and it went down better than mine.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Sean, what's the worst gig? We're not interested in the best gig. What's the worst gig you've done in the last while?
Well, I think the worst gig that sticks to mind is actually very early on. Mm-hmm. Where on the open mic circuit, you're playing the pubs. Now, if you're lucky, you'll be playing above a pub, in a room, like in a function room. Yeah. If you're unlucky, you're just in a pub. Now, what happens a lot of the time is people don't know there's a comedy night on. So they're just at the pub, and then there's a bloke with a microphone. So I'm doing this gig, I'm dying, properly dying. And then I had to get out of the way. I had to move, like, I'm doing a gig, telling jokes. Oh, sorry, move out of the way. So a bloke could take his shot at pool.
Oh, no.
Like, I was in the way of a pool game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's agony. I remember Jimmy Carr telling a story at the Edinburgh Festival that the worst heckle he ever got was halfway through a gig, and this guy turned to his friend and said, remember, there used to be a pool table in here.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, exactly.
It's painful.
Except at my gig, there was still a pool table. Mine was worse.
Go on then. What is the best gig? There must have been a moment that you thought, wow, this just feels like the best thing in the world.
Oh, you never get asked that.
Come on.
That's
you not?
Weird. No. I always love playing the... I'll tell you what, there's two, really. There's Comedia in Brighton, which is a club, and it's like the Comedy Store of Brighton. And it was where I grew up watching comedy. All I ever wanted to do was play there. Yeah. So every time I go back to the Comedia, and then the Apollo. Because amazing. The Apollo... And I've played the O2, I've done the gala. Yep. You know, that's amazing. Yep. It wasn't my own show. It was part of a bill. But the Apollo, I think, is always a special one. I've got another bad one.
Oh, go on, quickly.
There's a gig on the Thames on a boat, and I went in with a lot of confidence, too much confidence.
Oh, no.
And... I had so much confidence that it was unlikable, and this set that was going really well started dying. And when I die, I still do this. I walk backwards. I lose my confidence and I start walking all the way back. And I stepped onto the curtain, the backstage curtain. Pulled the curtain down, and Stuart Lee and John Richardson are just sat there with the audience looking at them. And the rest of the gig was me trying to put back up a curtain.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Sean's tour starts on the 5th of February in the Highlands of Scotland, nonetheless.
Those are cancelled dates that I'm redoing. So I've done that leg of the tour, and I've got to go back because I had to cancel them because I lost my voice.
Oh, well, that's there a problem, go. Isn't it?
That was interesting, wasn't it, for everyone?
I wish you did it with one of those little sort of voice
boxes. Yeah.
That would be quite entertaining. What did he say? He toured the Highlands at the start of the autumn tour.
Yeah.
Filmed a short documentary for BBC, which you can still see in iPlayer.
You should watch that.
Which
I don't. I genuinely don't plug myself, like, honestly. I've watched that, and I'm really proud of it. It's really funny.
What's it about? About the Highlands?
Me and my support at Mark Simmons at the time, we went and did a little tour in the Highlands.
Oh,
and
man.
It's just following us. You get to see, genuinely, what life is like on the road, watching a comic tour, and I'm pretty useless at life, so you get to enjoy that. And, like, I lost my voice, right? So I couldn't tour. And because the tour was already booked, we still had to go to Stornoway.
Oh, no.
Even though I didn't have a show. And where it's so small, people are bumping into people, they're going, aren't you, you cancelled the show. Yeah, but we'd still book the hotel, so I'm still here.
Oh, no.
Really weird scenario. Yeah. That's all in the documentary.
I'd love to see it. Yeah, you can still see it in iPlayer, so we should check that out. What's it called? Sean Walsh on tour?
It's called One for the Road,
which is also
the name of my tour show. Very clever.
It's a lovely segue,
Neat. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So as I said, we're going to do this every week. We're going to go back and enjoy a classic album, something that's really been listening, or we've been listening to behind the scenes, and we want to talk about on the show. Like I say, we did Blur last week, and Jamie T is an act that I thought I'd get into because it took me a long, I've got to be really honest about this and confess, it took me a long time to warm up to Jamie T. And I don't know if it's a geographical thing, you know, because when you move down from Scotland and you start listening to different music in London, it sometimes can go over your head. Like, I remember the first time I drove into London in 2000 and I heard Mike Skinner on the radio and I just thought, this is completely different. I'm not sure I'm going to like this. And everybody I knew north of the border thought it was absolute rubbish, but I massively fell in love with it. And Jamie T, just over the last couple of years, listening to a lot of Radio X and being here, you hear a lot of stuff that really, really, you know, it makes a difference. You like the lyrics, it resonates with you. And going back 10 years now to Panic Prevention, it's been good just sort of diving into that album and thinking about it a bit more. And we're going to play a couple of songs back to back in just a second, but that album was great. You think about it, Sheila, If You Got the Money, Calm Down Dearest, it was a Mercury Prize nominated album. They lost out to the Claxons. It went golden UK, but it was all about Jamie T's panic attacks, which he had before he wrote this album. But there's some great stuff in it about, it makes you feel like you're in London. So it's him sort of riding around in the tube. There are all these little audio clips as well of him getting angry at cyclists and things like that. But it's a really, really well-written album. It's got this collage effect as well. It's got all these different influences and samples, a bit of him crooning, a bit of him rapping, and he's obviously a great bass player as well. So there's a bit of that sort of riddled all the way through it. But he's got a real confidence to this as well. For a guy who's been suffering from panic attacks, it's a man who's at the peak of his powers, I think, with his songwriting. Producer Vin is a massive fan as well, and he's been banging the drum for this. I know he went to see Jamie T just before Christmas at Brixton. He played, I think, 3 sold out nights, and he has got an amazing, amazing live show. Vin, you've been banging on about this quite a lot to me, haven't you?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's that, it's like you said before, there's a collage feel to it. It's like, yeah, a montage almost. It's got all these weird samples and all these different references, and he's clearly a very big Clash fan. He's clearly a Springsteen, yeah, fan. There's loads of stuff being brought into it. Billy Bragg in there as well.
Yeah, we played a bit of Blur earlier on, and he does have characters throughout the song,
yes,
as well. So
yeah,
Sheila's a perfect example of that. You've got Georgina and Jack and Sheila and Stella and all of that. It does really bring music to life. But we love it, right? And that's our classic album for the week. It's Jamie T, Panic Prevention. So we're going to play 2 songs back to back for you here on the Evening Show on Radio X. I love both of these tracks. They're excellent. So and sit back, enjoy, or maybe even create your own little dance floor on your Monday night in your living room. This is Jamie T, Sheila, followed by If You Got the Money on Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
Sheila goes out with her.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
And I could take her out the next day for pretty much free.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
That was 2 from Jamie T back to back. That was great. If You Got the Money, and before that, Sheila, we're celebrating Panic Prevention. Can you believe it? 10 years since that came out, January 2007. Absolutely loving that. It was weird tonight. There's a bonus track on that album called Northern Line, and I was listening to it before I came into the show tonight on my commute on the Northern Line, which was horrible at that time of night when you've got somebody's armpit in your face. Album's called Panic Prevention. It all made perfect sense to me. If you remember as well, the video for Sheila, the late, great Bob Hoskins did the whole thing, you know, lip-syncing the entire lyrics. It was absolutely brilliant. And Bob Hoskins, again, for me, is kind of like an iconic London figure. So that moving down from Scotland to London and having him lip syncing a song, what a great choice. I've always got him in my head as Long Good Friday. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's him standing on the Thames looking down towards the east of London saying, one day this will all be flat. So it was in 1980, and him voicing Sheila is just perfect. If you wanted a man to do it, he was ideal. And it's like a Scotsman picking out his lyrics. Every time I listen, I hear something I've never heard before. It's almost like Jamie T listening to Jesus and the Mary Chain and understanding a Scottish accent. That's what it must be like. We're going to do this every week. Classic albums. We're going to go into something in a bit more detail and play 2 songs from it. So why not send in your suggestions? Just get in touch, 83936 or at Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio
X.
There's a man joining us on the phone who I've known now for, I think, the best part of 12 or 13 years. He's about to come back with his 5th album. He's making mischief on social media. He's going on tour. There's a new single. There's a new album, and I presume there's going to be quite a lot of bad behaviour in the next few months. Mr. James Blunty, how are you?
Gordon, it's been such a long time. It's very nice to speak to you.
And you too. And you too. Where are you in the world at the moment?
Back in London, actually. I know I live out in Ibiza, but I've been drifting between Los Angeles and London while I've been making this album for the last 2 years.
Oh, it's a dream life, you know, because I've always had this idea in my head of living in the winter in the Alps, in the summer in Ibiza, and then the rest of the time in London. But you've got it sussed. You've already worked it out.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But, you know, my mates are here. And actually, the music scene is great in London, so I stick around here as much as I possibly can.
So, talking about the music, you're on the fifth album now, James, right? It's something ridiculous. Like, I've got 20 million albums now. So you're back with the fifth album. I see you've been causing a bit of mischief on Twitter. What are the feelings like as you step back into the world of music now that you've finished yet another album?
Yeah, well, you know, this does feel really different for me. And, you know, I know I've written, I suppose, four albums with me on a guitar writing these pretty miserable dour sort of songs. And I feel that's a lifetime away, really, particularly from the kind of time of Back to Bedlam and You're Beautiful. And so this album is very different for me. And I've been writing it with people like Stefan Mokyo, who works at The Weeknd, and Ryan Tedder, who you know is the lead singer of One Republic.
Yeah.
And I am a bit nervous because the album sounds very different from what I've done in the past. And I also want to say thank you, because I know you're taking a punt on playing the single, and I think that's very brave of you, and cheers for doing so.
Well, here's the thing, James, it's a Darwinian thing. You know, people have to grow arms and legs, get out of the sea at some point, and people move on. You've got to let them have a chance to impress. And, you know, you have worked with some great people again on this, and they wouldn't work with you if they didn't think you had some talent. So, you know, it must be exciting. It's one of these things, credibility, isn't it? Coldplay get funny about it, and they worry about the people who don't like them, but actually there's this massive audience of people who love them, so maybe think about them.
Yeah, totally. And I'm very lucky. I suppose we always focus on the negative, don't we? You know, you can sell a few thousand tickets, but we always focus on the one negative tweet or something like that. But I am genuinely nervous about this record because, as I say, it does sound different, and you never quite know if anyone will like it or not. But I suppose I was tired of doing the same old kind of miserable songs, and I wanted to do something that reflected me a bit more, which is something with a bit more energy.
I have to say, though, hands up, you have handled it brilliantly. Like, you genuinely have a great voice on social media, right? And I thought your tweet last year, if you thought 2016 was bad, I've got an album coming out in 2017. You can't avoid liking that, you know? It was brilliant. And did that just come to you off the cuff, or have you employed a team of very clever people to come up with this?
Yeah, you're totally right. I do get someone else to write them for me. Justin Bieber's been writing my tweets. No, I mean, I'm there. I try not to drunk tweet too often. And I think my record company have always wanted me not to do it, but now they've kind of realised that they've let the cat out of the bag.
Words of wisdom there from James Blunt, but then again, that does come from years working in the UN peacekeeping forces. Right, let's play the new single now from James Blunt. This is Love Me Better on Radio X.
I know I've done a bit. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Love me better.
That's the new single from James Blunt on Radio X, Love Me Better. James is still on the line now. James, a lot of people might not know that Carrie Fisher played a huge part in your songwriting. Obviously, it was a terrible tragedy at Christmas, but would you like to pay your own tribute to Carrie and what she meant to you and the part she played in your career?
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute tragedy. She's your godmother to my child, and I'm very sad that he won't go up to know someone who is such a special woman, who housed me when I recorded, well, three albums now. But, you know, I met her in Notting Hill, and I said, I've got a record deal and I'm moving to LA. And she said, well, you're going to need a place to stay. And she put me up. And then really, I suppose, my kind of godmother in the States, my landlady, definitely, but as a very, very special woman. And it's an absolute tragedy that she's gone. And I suppose the only positive I take from it is that she's been riding high. I'm back as General Leia in the new Star Wars movies. And she went out on a high and with a bang.
Yeah, and great memories for you to have as well, you know, some special times.
I mean, I think life won't be nearly as much fun without her. She's just the most incredible person she was a hugely bright person, and her brain just jumped between subjects, and she was an incredible writer and comedian in her own way. So life will definitely not be as much fun now that she's not around.
James, that's a lovely tribute. You know what? And thanks so much for coming on as well. You're off on tour this spring as well, I think. You've got quite a lot of British dates to do.
I'm out on tour in October and November to the start of a tour. And, really looking forward to coming back home to the UK. And I suppose we'll see. As I say, of course I'll play the old songs, but I'm nervous to see what people will think of the new stuff and whether they'll show up at all.
I will ride it till the wheels come off, James. That's always the spirit. And I think I'm moving around the corner from you, so we'll have to go out and have a cup of tea.
Okay, well... Yes, a cup of tea it is. And I know your code words only too well.
James, listen, all the very best. Thanks for coming on, and we'll catch up soon.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. If you remember last week, you were listening to the evening show. We had Serge Pizzorno from Kasabian discussing Reading and Leeds. They're going to be headlining. Also on the bill, Muse. One of the other big names on there, Fatboy Slim, he's been confirmed to play on the August Bank Holiday. It should be pretty special. He's a veteran. He knows what to do. He knows how to throw a party. Doctor soon to Templeton from Radio X very kindly had a big chat with him and sent it our way. Amazingly, it's the DJ and producer's first time playing at the event, and this is what he got from Sunta about it.
I know, who would have thought? I find it quite incredible, actually, that in 32 years in the business, which is even longer than about the same time that Reading's been going, I've never done it. I think when festivals, 20 years ago, festivals, it was quite good that festivals were quite sort of partisan about what they were. It's like, we're a rock festival, don't bother coming if you don't want to rock, you know, or we're a, you know, we're an illegal rave, so don't expect there to be any portable toilets. So, but nowadays festivals have got so big and they're kind of incorporating everything, and people are choosing, you know, they maybe go to 1-2 test festivals a year, and they don't just want to hear one kind of music. So yeah, they've become less specialist and more inclusive. Which I suppose is why I'm now being included in the lineup.
Now, I know for a fact that you're very good at starting a party. I've been witness to a few times that's happened myself. And I think, you know, actually, you're probably one of my favourite people to watch in an outside space. Because, you know, some DJs and some producers don't maybe work so well outside of a club environment. But that seems to be something you do embrace.
Well, I think... Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm quite good at sort of crossing over to a non, you know, sort of, you know, hardcore dance crowd. I do play quite a lot of rock festivals, and I often sort of kind of close the main stage after the Foo Fighters or something, which always fills me with trepidation. It's like, oh my Christ, how am I going to follow them? But it's you know, I think what I do does cross over a lot into the other tribes. So I've got that going for me. But I mean, that's the thing, like you said, I'm all about party. I'm a party DJ. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Yeah, he's not just crossed over to other tribes, he's gone across, had a bit of their dinner, taken some home with it. So, what a back catalogue Fatboy Slim has. Norman Cook there, speaking to Dr. Cinto Templeton from Radio X. He's headling Reading and Leeds. This is Fatboy Slim, Praise You on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That's The Hives on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart here with your evening show. They have just been announced as support acts for Green Day at British Summertime this summer, of course, at Hyde Park, along with some others as well. Who else? Rancid are on the bill. There's a little flash from the past. And that's going to be on the 1st of July, Saturday, the 1st of July in Hyde Park. Should be pretty special. Tell you who else is on the bill that day. A band called Go Go Bordello. Remember them? You've got to remember them. That song is just like the soundtrack to the most ridiculous night out I ever had, right? When I was working for The Sun, I ended up in Berlin. Weirdly, at a film premiere, Madonna had made this movie called Love and Mercy, I think it was called. Filth and Wisdom it was called. And Gogol Bordello were starring in it. Eugene Hutz, the frontman, was in the film. And they also provided the soundtrack. So for about 8 hours in Berlin, Eugene Hutz was singing this all through the night. It's all he'd carry in his acoustic guitar all the way around Berlin. Hey! Madonna dancing on the bar in a ridiculous pair of sort of PVC high heel things. It was ridiculous. And we ended up in a nightclub called the Pan Am Bar on the top floor of a high-rise building where all the women there were dressed as Pan Am air hostesses. Damon Albarn was there. Very weird. Anyway, the reason we started talking about that is because Gogol Bordello and the Hives are supporting Green Day at British Summertime. This is Green Day now on Radio X. Still breathing.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. That was the Evening Show podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, leave us a review and tell all your friends. I'm back every weeknight between 7 and 10 on Radio X. See you later.
Radio X. Get into the music.